Welcome to the NLP View with your host, Donna Blinston. Each week, Donna will explore how the techniques of NLP can help your personal and professional life. Today's show is sponsored by Austria's Finest Naturally, authentic pumpkin seeds and pumpkin seed oil from the Steiermark, available at organicuniverse.com. Listeners of the Organic View Radio Network can receive $1 off their purchase by using the coupon code ORGVIEW. That's ORGVIEW. For more offers, please visit our website at www.theorganicview.com. And now, here's your host, Donna Blinston.
Hello and welcome, everyone, to the NLP View Radio Show. On today's show, I am joined by June Stoyer, the executive producer of the Organic View Radio Show. June has kindly joined me today to discuss how you can use NLP to tell if your partner's been cheating, questions that have been coming through from our audience. So we've designed this show today to answer a lot of your questions that have been coming through over social media. So I'd like to welcome to the show June Stoyer. Hello, June.
Hi, Donna. So great to be back on your show.
Thank you so much for joining me. It's always great to have you, June. I love our interviews and our chats.
I do, too. I can't tell you how many people write in after your shows air, and they have so many questions. And especially with tonight's show about the whole infidelity subject, when we asked the folks on social media, we weren't too sure what to expect. But it's interesting that this is a very big topic for many people, both men and women.
Yes. I don't know whether it's a sign of the times or it's a change in the times. I'm not sure, but I've certainly found people are a lot more open about it and are wanting to find answers. And I don't know whether there is an area of people being scared that someone's going to cheat on them, and they're putting things in their own way, which indirectly causes the other person to cheat on them. I'm not saying that is the way, but it's certainly something that I'm seeing a lot, and a lot of my clients are coming to me. They're scared of getting in relationships in case somebody cheats on them. So there seems to be a lot of different dynamics around it. Interesting questions.
Now, Donna, there is also a lot on social media that comes from Hollywood, in which different celebrities are discussing infidelity very openly, whether they recently decided to file because of the relationship going sour because of cheating, or in some cases where even the tabloids spill the beans on a relationship that has come apart because someone was caught cheating with someone else.
Mm.
And I don't want to name names with different celebrities, but it's happening quite a lot.
It is, and I don't know, is this a sign of the times? I sound like a cliche saying things like that, but it is. It's something, whether it's something that has always been happening, I like to think that historically, or at least back in my grandparents' day and earlier, you married your husband, and that was the person that you stayed with. But talking to different family members, it was known back then that the man might be cheating on the wife, but it was more accepted because people were in a relationship and their religion was a lot more, their marriage was a lot more important to them because of religious views, and you stay by your partner. So whether things like that have changed, or whether it is, as I've said before, a sign of the times, and the way social media is so, it's all there, it's all in your face, and it's, is it that the generations that are coming through now that getting divorced and getting married and it being so easy to do, is that why that it's happening more so? I'm not sure.
Well, I think one of the things that would be helpful is, especially as you describe relationships from an NLP perspective in your book Psychobabble, if you could just share with the listeners about perspective, about what it is they feel that is going on with the relationship. So do you want to begin there?
Great place. A common thing that I find with a lot of clients, a lot of friends, and in my own personal life is we get stuck in ruts, and it could be that something new needs to change, or you're getting so used to the mundane parts of life that with work, the daily routine, that the bit that met you and the mum and the dad in the first place that brought them together is not so much lost, but it's not at the forefront anymore. That whole magical honeymoon period has disappeared. So there is elements of where you can interject that and bring that back into your life. And then there's also things that you just do day in and day out that can get taken for granted. And that being taken for granted can start to grind. And it might be something that's not done deliberately by the other person at all. It might be something that's just happened and it's become custom. So there's an irritation that's bubbling away underneath that neither person is particularly speaking about, or the person who it's affecting is not speaking about, and the other person's oblivious, which in and of itself causes a rut because the person who it's bothering thinks the other person doesn't care. So there's different things like that that can start bubbling away in the background. And again, it's back down to communication, expressing yourself, knowing what's important to you. And one thing we do teach within NLP is there's a about strategies. And one particular is a love strategy and relationships, whichever way you want to call it, really. And it's understanding how the other person knows that they are being loved. What little things, like the, as you're walking past the other person, just being touched, or they're holding when you're on the couch, or they're just every now and again holding their hands. The little things that mean so much. So it's re-engaging with those kind of things, because there's that, I guess a lot of people come to me and they say that they love their partner, but they're not in love with them anymore. So it's what's changed. And it's trying to rekindle that. So from the perspective, it's looking at what different things are going on, and stepping into the other person's shoes. Why are they upset with you? What's going on? Asking yourself, what is it that they're doing? Why is it bothering me? What do I want to happen instead? And then having those conversations.
Now, Donna, one of the listeners wrote in to say that she consistently attracts men who are unfaithful to her. And she'd like to know, what can she do to change this pattern?
It's an interesting belief that she holds. I guess if I was working with this lady, I'm presuming it's a lady. Did you say it was a lady?
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
If I was working with this lady, I'd want to look at that as a belief system. Because if it is something that she truly believes, then it might be that she's going unintentionally looking for people who are going to cheat on her, because that's what she's come to accept and expect from somebody else. It's, what's that saying, that you get what you're looking for?
Yes. And now, do you think that the timeline technique that you use would be effective so that she could get to the root as far as why she's looking to recreate that theme of betrayal?
It could be, yeah. Timeline is a hugely powerful technique, certainly something that I do with most of my clients, actually, but it is something that you would do later down the line because it is so powerful, and there's a lot of other things you need to find out first, and safety measures, I suppose, to put in place and to find out. Well, I liken it to an onion in our lives. And we've got so many different layers to our onion. So many different layers to us as an individual, in the same way that an onion has. We don't know, for this lady, on what layer of this onion does this belief form. Was it something that happened in her past which made her create the decision that she's going to be cheated on? Is there some underlying belief or negative belief that doesn't deserve to meet somebody that's going to make her happy? There could be a multitude of different negative beliefs that she's formed following a negative event. it could be something a lot more simpler around the cheating, that, you know, that somebody's going to cheat on her, but it's actually a mirror image of something else that she's representing. It might be a way of protecting herself from getting hurt. So it might not be anything to do with the other person. It might be her trying to prevent herself from being hurt. So she's got all her barriers up to not allow somebody in.
So it's interesting. So she's attracting someone that is cheating on her that would prevent her from a deeper kind of agony.
Possibly.
That is fascinating.
It's not, you know, it's not definite. That's where you'd need to get to know the other person and find out the complex equivalence around what she's saying, finding out about her history, going back through and starting to recognise patterns of behaviour. It could be a belief, and it could be something as simple as undoing that belief that in and of itself reverts it, or it could be something that she's masking. She might not want to get into a deep relationship because of not letting go of a relationship from the past. There's different things that it could be. So it's unpicking, really, what else is there. There might not be anything there, but usually when it comes to things like that, and when people are making big generalising statements that we call them universal quantifiers. So she's saying that everybody, huge, big, swooping statements. So it might be, to begin with, that we use some language patterns like... Virginia Satir, she developed a pattern within NLP, or it was modelled from Virginia Satir, and the pattern of meta-modelling, where we find out specifically what she means by everybody and drill down and get into the detail and find out exactly what it is she means. And if she does come up with complex equivalents, she then challenge them and bring them back. So it depends on where that takes her.
That's fascinating. That actually ties into logic, formal logic, when you look at the different flaws in reasoning. Mm. And when you study that, it's even more eye-opening. You know, but what you're saying is just amazing, because it's interesting to think that someone could be recreating a pain in themselves or in their current existence to prevent a deeper pain, or they're creating a pain to keep another memory alive.
Mm.
So when it comes to all the different techniques, it's just fascinating how the human mind works. Now, Donna, we have another question that was submitted by a gentleman, and he wrote in to say that one of the big issues that he has is getting over the hurt from being cheated on in his last relationship, and he's having such a hard time trusting women.
Mm.
We received a number of emails that were kind of similar, and I, just for the protection of the person, I don't want to disclose names or anything, but it's just interesting that this is a common theme for both men and women, and granted, every situation is different, but he wrote basically that he's having a very difficult time trusting anybody new that's in his life, and he finds himself checking their cell phones, checking their emails, just checking all sorts of stuff, and they haven't done anything wrong.
Mm.
So what would you recommend? What are some techniques that he can use on himself to help himself heal?
I think there's a lot around forgiveness and forgiving the other person and allowing himself to grieve. If he's been with that person for a long time, then it will be like a bereavement, you know, and he needs to get over the anger, get over the upset, get over what any guilt or other emotions that are there. And if there is emotions there, it's getting curious, you know, why are those emotions still hanging around? What lessons has he got to learn for himself to allow himself to move on? And, you know, is he ready to move on? And when I say, is he ready? He clearly wants to. But it's then, okay, so what is it that's stopping you? Why does he feel that he still has to check somebody else's phone? Now, I get it, you know, he's clearly, he's been hurt before, his trust has been broken. but you can't tarnish everyone with the same brush. So it's going back and looking at those emotions that have been hurt, that are there currently from the old relationship, and basically untying them. You know, there's multiple techniques within the NLP. A lot of it, to begin with, will be finding out the whys, why he's doing what he's doing. So the things like the checking the phones, what is it he's looking for? Is it that he's looking for, is he trying to prove himself right? Or is it that he's almost, you know, he's looking for the early warning signs so he doesn't get hurt again? Once that's kind of has been established for him, it's what does he want to do next? Is he ready for another relationship? If he is ready for another relationship, it's what needs to happen for him to be able to move on. And then within that, we then work on rebuilding his confidence, getting him to look at his values, what's important to him within a relationship, and getting those things established from the beginning. How, and getting him to understand how he knows that he's been trusted and how he knows he can trust somebody else, so that he's very clear about those elements, so that he can explain to the other person, this is what I've been through before, this is why I might behave in this way. If I'm doing something to upset you, let me know. So he's kind of putting those feelers out to begin with, to almost allow, not allow him to be looking at phones, but allow him to feel comfortable rather than having to do it secretly and behind somebody else's back. Because as soon as, if he's doing that, then he's not trusting the other person as much as he's been worried that he can't trust the other person.
Thank you. Now, on the same, in the same token, we have another gentleman that wrote in to say that every time he does anything, his girlfriend picks a fight with him and accuses him of cheating. And he said that he's kind of growing tired of dealing with this in the relationship. He loves her very much, but he's just getting to the point where he's really frustrated. What do you do when you're dealing with that end of the spectrum?
I guess for this end, then it's back down to conversation. So we'd need to look at for him to be able to step into her shoes. So a technique that I use a lot, which is in my book, called Perceptual Positions. If you imagine a triangle, you'd have you in position one, so this gentleman in position one, with his girlfriend in position two, the opposite side of the triangle. So from position one, he'd be explaining exactly how he feels, what's happening, how it's making him feel, when she's doing all the different things. You then get him to step into position two, from her perspective, act like her, talk like her, and as her, hearing what he has just said about her and hearing what he has just said of how he's feeling about it. How is it that she's going to respond? Why is she behaving like this? What does she want to say? What are her feelings, her thoughts? Why is she doing it? And going on investigating and gaining insights into the other person's perspective. From that position, you then go into position three, which is at the top of the triangle, very much like the wise old owl. So from that position, looking down on the two of them in position one and position two, what needs to happen? What advice would you give to him in position one? What advice to the other person? What can they do to move the relationship forward? And from that, he should be able to come up with some ideas as to what to do next, some insights into be able to help her. It could be a case that, you know, if there is something that's quite serious that's gone on with her, then maybe he needs to be able to support her to get help to go through it. Maybe a relationship counsellor where they can both sit down together and talk through why is it that he feels. Finding out from her, what is it that he's not doing within the relationship? So it's back to that strategy. Does she feel like she's being loved? He might love her, you know, without any shadow of a doubt. From the tips of her toes to, you know, the tips of her fingernails, whatever. But she might not be feeling that love.
Yeah.
So it's, how does she know that she's being loved? How does she know that she feels special? So it's understanding what's important to the other person and how that person knows that those feelings are being shared. So it might be things like that, those questions to ask between each other to find out those little things in a relationship. So when a relationship first starts, there's so much the sexual attraction that you're interested in each other. There's loads of different things that are going off. You're finding out things that you didn't know before. You're exploring each other. There's loads of new things and new places. And then as you get past that honeymoon period, it's the next bit that needs to carry it on. So if he's thinking, if she's now thinking that he must be cheating on her, and this goes back to the other gentleman as well, you know, if that's being raised, then what is it that's not being fulfilled for them to feel like that? So going back to that other gentleman, actually, it might be a case when he's feeling that he can't trust the person, what isn't happening for him to feel that he can't trust somebody? What is it he feels is lacking to make him feel that they must be interested in somebody else? So it's those kind of things that will hopefully help to move them both forward.
Thank you. Now, what about the case of infidelity where the couple has a falling out and whether it's the man or the woman, they decide, you know, let's make this work, and they try again, and then the person who cheated the last time cheats again. What do you advise people that are in that situation who don't necessarily want to break up but don't want to keep going through the heartache?
It's a hard one to give advice on because it's for you and your that individual, what's important to that individual, and what dynamics and what else is going on. You know, if there's a family, young children, a house, business, if there is other things that's tied up within their relationship, then just to be able to turn around and say, look, you've done it once to me, I've let you back, you've done it again, that's it, you know, once bitten, twice shy, that kind of thing. I always like to try and get a relationship to have another go, to work again, to, you know, look at the differences, what's happened, what's made that person cheat, you know, what must have been happening or what wasn't happening for that person to want to move away. I don't know what I feel and what I believe about people just being born cheaters. You know, a lot of people say that people can't help it, they're drawn to it, and I don't know whether it's true or it's not true. If it were to be true, then is that something that she's going to accept? If it is something that she's going to accept, then it's what does she need to do for herself to protect herself from getting hurt? If it's something that she can't accept, then maybe it is, then, you know, time to have a break and for them to separate. It is very difficult. And if I was working with a client on a one-to-one basis, we'd have to look at the ecology around it. And by ecology, you can look at ecology as being what's right for them as a person, for them in their environment, their neighbourhood, their, you know, finances, social, economical state, and for them within the wider world, what's going to make them feel right within themselves. If they're feeling unease, disrespected or taken for granted, if they're feeling negative about themselves because of staying with somebody, is that what they want for themselves? So it would be on an individual basis. You know, I don't advocate cheating, but I don't advocate divorce either. You know, so it's what's right for that person. If that person can see themselves, if they give it another go in years to come, you know, it's that thing of sitting on being the grandma in however many years that actually is, and looking back on the life, what regrets would they have had? What would have been different if they did leave the partner that they're with? What could they have done differently? How do they feel? What would they like to have done instead? Or are they happy with what they've got? It depends what else that relationship's bringing for them. You know, you could use perceptual positions again and have position one as them there, as it is now. Them, and then position two, you could have a 2A, call it, which is a first position two, where they're them in, you know, 2 months, 5 months, 6 months' time, and there may be a position two them in 5 years' time, or 10 years, or great, you know, further along down the line, and looking back at the life and how are they feeling? What would they want to have done differently? Where do they want to be in their life? Is this person an important aspect of the life that they can or can't be without? Maybe it's a case that they need to separate for a while. It would be very much on a one-to-one basis. And it's hard because I don't agree with cheating, but I don't want to say that, you know, nope, if you can't stay faithful, then it's not a good one and goodbye.
And sometimes it actually helps improve the relationship because sometimes you don't appreciate what you have until it's gone.
Yeah.
You know, so I agree. It's definitely a very individual case by case decision as far as what the tolerance levels are, and also, you know, what you need for your own relationship with that person, what you're willing to tolerate, what you're not willing to tolerate. But your examples, the techniques that you've described, are, you know, really just excellent. And I think if more people took advantage of the techniques that are out there to help them with finding a resolution, maybe instead of the marriage or the relationship ending, it might be saved.
Yeah, it might be. And it might be something, you know, I've a few people that I've worked with, it's been little silly little things that has pushed the other person away, which when you look at them all in isolation, you know, I spoke to both parties, and when I spoke to it's a woman actually who's a cheat in this case. When I spoke to her, she came out with a bombarded list, endless list, of all little silly little things that just, you know, the last one was, it was something, a toilet, a toothbrush on the floor or something. Something really insignificant in its own context.
Yeah, it was the straw that broke the camel's back.
Exactly.
It had been building.
It has. And when you looked at all the little things individually, even she'd admit that it was just completely, they're all insignificant on their own. But as you say, it was the final one broke the camel's back. But he was completely unaware of any of them. He knew that she was in moods with him on a regular basis, but just thought that she was hormonal, that she had bad periods, that, you know, at times he thought that she was pregnant when she wasn't. Sometimes he thought it was that she'd gone onto this new pill and it wasn't. He never really acknowledged what was going on for her. On the same note, she'd never explained what was going on. And, you know, she said he's that thick-skinned that he didn't even notice that I was upset with him. He never asked me how I felt, et cetera, et cetera. His argument was, well, she never told me that was bothering her. She never said this, she never said that. So again, it's back to what behaviour is bothering you, what do you want instead, and explaining that, talking, communication, it's the key to the world, you know, but so many of us are rubbish at communicating. We don't want to upset the other one or offend the other person, or we think, oh, what's the point, they're not going to listen, or it's something that's trivial. And, you know, things like, I don't know, her toothbrush being on the floor in the bathroom that he dropped in the morning and it still wasn't picked up by the next morning by him was the final thing. And she didn't want to say anything about it because she felt stupid. And all these little insignificant things were things where she'd felt stupid if she'd have explained them to him and felt like she was a nag and she didn't want to nag him. So in the end, she ended up being drifted off to somebody else who appreciated her, who showed her attention, who did little things, who pulled out of a chair, who opened the door for her when she sat down, who poured her glass of wine first. Little things like that that she'd not received. And again, it's that love strategy. How do you know when you're being loved? How do you know when you're being appreciated? Talking with each other, explaining your feelings, explaining what you want, setting your boundaries so that the other person knows. And, you know, again, step into the other person's shoes, be them. If they're the kind of person that would be stood there with the hands on the hips, then you stand in position two with your hands on your hips, acting like the other person, getting into their world. What would they reply to you if you did say that? How could you say it differently? What would they be thinking? What would they be feeling? Going into position three, the top of the triangle, and looking down on the two and realizing what needs to happen for it to be resolved. And, you know, these two, yes, she had cheated. And, you know, they're happily back together again and understand each other more. And I think the fundamental problem with them is they didn't understand what was important to each other, why it was important to each other, and how it was making each other feel.
Exactly. I think those are the main points that I think all relationships need to pay attention to.
Mm-hmm. Well, if you'd like to learn more about the different techniques that I've discussed and more about NLP and how it can help yourself, then pick up a copy of my book, Psychobabble, A Straightforward, Plain English Guide to the Benefits of NLP. You can get it from any online bookstore, Amazon, through Kindle, or direct from me via my website, which is www.donnablunston.com. Thank you for tuning in, and thank you, June, for joining me today.
You're very welcome.
Thank you. It's been Donna Blunston, and I hope you have a great week.